The Catholic Channel SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love with your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York.
Welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is our weekly conversation about the church in the world, and we kind of say just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, and just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. Well, Thanksgiving is a time when the world does tend to be more compassionate. And if we kind of look back on this past Thanksgiving week, I bet you there were so many different things that were going on in the world that tried to help and reach out to our neighbors. And so this week, we're going to look back on some of those. We're going to talk about some of those. And in a few minutes, we're going to speak with a friend of mine, Monsignor Michael Bolin, who is the CEO of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and he's going to talk to us about a couple of ways in which Catholic Charities in Chicago celebrate Thanksgiving and what they do to kind of bring the love of God to their neighbors and people in need. And then, middle show special treat, because it is, you know, Thanksgiving, I'm going to ask my cousin to give us a shout and to talk about one of our family traditions, which she loves. I'm going to just tease it a little bit. You know, when everybody kind of sets the table for Thanksgiving, oftentimes, which we don't do throughout the year, we put a napkin ring around the napkins that are there. And so she's going to talk to us about a game that we created, oh, decades ago, which continues to this day using napkin rings at Thanksgiving. So we're going to do that. And then, you know, we're also going to talk about something that significant happened, not merely in New York, but throughout the country. And this has been going on for the past year or so, in which Amazon said they had gotten so big that they needed a second headquarters rather than the one up in addition to the one in the Northwest. And they did kind of a whole thing about where they were going to locate. And because of a lot of reasons, a lot of cities wanted them to do so. And, you know, they had to make some deals in order to figure out where they were going to go. And so I'm going to speak with Camille Rivera a little bit later on in the show about, you know, some of those issues, because sometimes the deals might not be so good for the community. And even though everybody gets all excited about them, that there's a lot to look at from a policy point of view as to whether or not the local governments, the municipalities got a good deal when they gave away tax monies, etc. So at the end, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to speak with Camille Rivera about the Amazon deal and how we look at that. So it is, Fanny, Thanksgiving week. You like Thanksgiving?
Yes, I like Thanksgiving. It's a time, you know, where I got to see a lot of my family and eat a lot of food.
But, you know, did I hear something that maybe turkey isn't on the top of your Thanksgiving food list?
It's not. My parents are both from the Dominican Republic. We use turkey. Well, my mom makes turkey only because it's a Thanksgiving staple. But most of it is leftover. We're eating the main meat dish this year is pork chops, which in Spanish is chuleta. I love chuleta.
I love chuletas too. But no.
We're still having turkey though, with gravy and stuffing. Right. It's just not the main.
Right. You know, but I'll tell you. I love pork. Okay, mm-hmm. I really really love pork. But I'd prefer pernil.
Definitely.
To chuletas.
We had pernil last year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
tell
this year was
what is pernil?
It's basically, well, I guess Jamaicans do it too, like pulled pork. But I feel like ours is better.
but pernil is not necessarily pulled.
No, it's not.
It's kind of like it's a roast,
cut.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is roasted, but I like it pulled better.
Well, but sometimes if it's so nice and tender when you
it
cut it,
anyway, right?
It kind of you get a little chunk and then you get that. It really is good. I love
it. Yeah, me too. I love it.
That's a good stuff. But you know, Fanny, it is, and I know this past week, you participated in some events that were of service, that were helping people out.
Yeah.
Tell listeners about one of the ones you took part in.
Yeah, so because I do social media for Catholic Charities, I get to do a lot of fun things and watch people do a lot of fun things. So on Monday, the events department, Carolyn and Anne, invited me to the Kennedy Center up in Harlem, because Catholic Renewal, they're basically young adults, and they volunteered to set up the goods for us for Turkey Day. So what they did was, after work, they went to the Harlem, the location in Harlem, and they put out all of our canned goods and produce and things like that. So then on Turkey Day, on Tuesday, it was easier for us to give these things out to the Harlem residents. So I went there on Friday night, and I also went there Tuesday morning. I took pictures. I spoke to some of the folks there, took live video for social media. So that was fun. That was really fun to kind of be part of both days.
Good. Good. So you know what? Why don't we go to the middle of the country now? Why don't we speak to Monsignor Michael Bolin, who is the CEO of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And let's figure out what's going on in the middle of the country with regard to Thanksgiving. Monsignor Bolin, thank you for joining us on Just Love.
Thank you very much.
How are you doing?
Good, doing great.
Good. What's the weather like out by you?
Probably today it's in the 30s and cloudy, so.
Good. Good.
No snow, thank God.
So do you like Thanksgiving or not?
I love it, yes.
What do you like about it?
I just like it because it's just a day that we all pause to say thanks to God and to look back at all of our blessings.
Boy, Mike, you're so much holier than I. I love it because of the food.
Well, I love it because of the food, too.
Okay, good. That is a good thing. So, you know, this time of the year is stuff when I think those of us who work at Catholic Charities, we really are blessed because we experience the generosity of so many different people. So kind of share with our listeners a little bit about some of the things that Catholic Charities in Chicago has been doing to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Well, just last Saturday, we had a wonderful celebration for our refugees. So we settle about 400 refugees a year here at Catholic Charities in Chicago. And our junior board puts on a traditional Thanksgiving for refugees, and we had about 100 people or so come to that. And it's a great celebration of their first Thanksgiving in America, and we prepare all the food. They prepare all the food, and then they serve it, and just have a lot of activities surrounded for the kids and the families and the parents. And it's just great to see people coming from all parts of the world, Syria, the Congo, Iran, Afghanistan, Burma, all coming together, and they don't all share the same language, but they share the beauty of the day, and are, for most of them, are so grateful to, all of them are grateful to be here. And so that was one of our events, and we have a...
So, Mike, let me ask you about that event a little bit more, because... you know, as we've talked about on this show, that we have a real incredible refugee crisis in the world. I think, you know, pick a number, but it's probably somewhere around 23 million refugees in the world, and probably over 4 million people who are displaced within their own countries and haven't actually crossed a border. And it's a lot of different countries. But the refugees, and sometimes they wind up settling according to country in different places. In Chicago these days, what are some of the countries where, you know, there's a fair number of refugees who are kind of making their new home in Chicago? Which countries are the ones in the Chicago area?
Well, there's quite a few. Syria is a very large group. Iran is, Afghanistan, Burma. Those are the big ones for us here in Chicago that come to us.
So I want to share, I assume you were at the event last Saturday, weren't you?
Yes.
So how do, because I was just talking with Fanny here, and I was kidding Fanny a little bit since her family's from the Dominican Republic. They're not so big into this turkey thing, but I'll take care of that offline. We'll talk about that. But so I bet you those people from the various different countries they came from, you know, they have all different food customs and all different cultures. How'd you deal with that in terms of doing a Thanksgiving meal?
Well, they did have a turkey, and a lot of them really liked, enjoyed it. And but others, we always make sure that there's different kinds of food that they would like. Like the first night that they're in Chicago, when they come, when we meet them at the airport, we bring them to their apartment, and then our volunteers, a lot of times our junior board, will prepare a meal, which is a part of their custom, whatever country they come from, and then sit down with them and then eat their first meal in the United States to welcome them, or formally to the United States, to Chicago. So, they work with our refugee staff about what different kinds of food that they would like, and but most of them really are interested in trying to find out what is the turkey and what is the Thanksgiving, and it's because it is obviously very foreign to them as far as the dressing and all the other kind of things that go with it. It goes very well. They really enjoy it.
Well, you know, one of the things I found is when it comes to food, most people, now you get a few stick in the muds, but if it's good food, people are really happy to have stuff from different cultures, et cetera, et cetera. It's junk food, no, but if it's good stuff, people are, you know, willing to give it a try and to say, that's something that I didn't, you know, they didn't know I was going to like. And I bet you a fair number of the people there kind of fit into that category.
Oh, very much so. And they really, when it's explained to them why, you know, why all these different things are there, it really is great. And for most of them, come from places that there isn't really, which is why I like it so much, it's a national holiday just really to say thanks. And, you know, they're very touched by that, because obviously that would not be true oftentimes in their own countries, that they would have just one day dedicated to being grateful or to being thankful.
Now, you know, we're speaking with Monsignor Michael Bolin, who's the CEO of Catholic Charities, the Archdiocese of Chicago, and who I kind of consider it a privilege for me and a blessing to call him a friend. I've worked with him over the years and have kind of witnessed such a dedication and good work in, you know, one of the most significant Catholic Charities agencies throughout the entire United States. And so I'm delighted that he's with us. You know, Mike, it's hard not to, when we're dealing a lot with refugees and immigrants, to, you know, become a little bit political, but maybe we just try to talk about humanity and policies. But you know, I bet you the welcoming that you gave to those hundreds of refugees goes so far to dealing with some of the sad, unfortunate rhetoric that some people think they can get away with and maybe is going to get them elected and things like that. I bet you it was pretty fulfilling to be able to say that true America and kind of true Christians, our true Catholic values, say we welcome people and we want to make them part of our families.
Right. And there is a sense, you know, against there's all this rhetoric that's out there, but their experience, when you listen to walk around and talk with them, to hear, you know, their gratitude and their feeling of safety in America, or feeling accepted, they're very beautiful things that sometimes we don't always think about. And I know our junior board just loves taking them around on the train to show how to work our local train system, or to.
Hey, Mike, could you send us some of those, because our trains ain't working too well these days? So could you help us to get ours to work better?
Well, it's a miracle that ours do work. Trust me.
So say a little bit, because I think, you know, sometimes I bet your junior board is probably, you got a lot of millennials in that junior board, you know, people who are, you know, in the workforce for a number of years, but not there for 20, 30 years. I assume that's a little bit of the demographics.
Oh, sure. Very much so.
You know, but, you know, and again, you know, one of the things when you look at some of the media and things, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people want to give millennials kind of a bad rap that they're, you know, into themselves, they're entitled, all of those type of things. But you're kind of betraying a different side to at least a group of millennials, aren't you?
Oh, very much so. And I'll tell you, they are, I just met with a group of them the other day, yesterday, and it is just amazing their enthusiasm and their willingness to want to serve and to give back, and their creativity as far as taking a lot of our children that are on the west side of the city or the south side, which are very tough, violent areas, and bring them out to the parks or to the zoos, and they really are trying to show a different side of the city, and that people actually do care about them. So, you know, I do think there's a lot of great things that are the millennials, and by being a part of the junior board, they really bring a lot of enthusiasm, because they do come to our board meetings. They, you know, they serve in our board committees, and they really bring a great positive perspective. And it's I tell you, it's been a tremendous shot in the arm for our older board members, because they're seeing youth and young people behind them. You know, that it isn't it's a live organization that's touching the lives of not only board members who have been dedicated for so many years, which we're so grateful for, but there's people in the trenches right behind them. You know, so yeah, there is a lot of great things. It's a great time to be grateful and thankful for that.
Oh, that's good. But and we also know very much the only reason that happens is because there's leadership like you and your staff that spends the time in kind of inviting, engaging them to participate, because it really doesn't only happen. It doesn't happen by accident. It kind of requires an intentionality to try to make it happen.
Yes, and that's very, very true. And it's, you know, our leadership on that junior board as well is wonderful. Our manager, that or a person who coordinates it for us, is tremendous, Noreen Russo. And so there's a lot of great things. But I do think, as you said, the important part is, you know, invitation, letting people be invited, and then let them run with it. And by letting them do that, they do far more things than we ever thought possible. They keep pushing the, you know, about we could do this, and it just gives a tremendous amount. So it's really wonderful, you know. So
that's great. Mike, any other Thanksgiving activities that you'd like to highlight for our listeners throughout the country?
Well, we're just giving out hundreds and hundreds of turkeys for our clients, and tomorrow we will have a luncheon for our clients. We'll serve about 300 people here at the main office downtown in the city. The Cardinal's supposed to stop by for a little while, but it's supposed to be a great, it's always a great thing.
Now, I don't want to say, you didn't say the Cardinal's a turkey, right? You didn't say that, right?
I did not.
Okay, good. I just wanted to get that true.
I don't want to be sent to the mission.
Because, I, you know, Cardinal Dolan came to our event, and he wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he wasn't the turkey who was there, that he was giving out turkey. So we assured him that, you know, that he could play both parts. We didn't want to limit him. He could do a variety of things. You know, but so let me ask you this one question, which comes up, you know, sometimes with some of the cynics. And so how do you respond to this? You know, everybody wants to feel good. They want to do something good at Thanksgiving. We got more volunteers than we can use. But where are they in July? Where are they when we need them to do other stuff? So aren't we just kind of feeding into their wanting to feel good stuff, and then they go back to being selfish and not, you know, caring about people? What do you say to that, Mike?
Well, I just think that it is a great time this time from now till Christmas, because a lot of people are charitable-minded, though they might not be at different times of the year. But there's a certain percentage they get hooked, and they're the ones who are their life, you know, who are here all the time. So when they realize, you know, a lot of times people test to see, like, is this a good organization? Do they really care? Do they, and so, you know, yes, there are people, but we do need them all throughout the year. But it is the, you know, again, the invitation to be able to help, and they see that they can do that. And I think they're touched and changed because of their encounter with our clients. And most of the times, because we serve dinners here 5 nights a week to a couple hundred people a night, but we do it all now. We have about 7 locations in the diocese, and again, the volunteers love it. And we could never do this without all the amount of volunteers and the restaurants who donate the food and all those things. So I do think it's a unique time of the year that, yes, we never turn a volunteer away. And it does give us a great chance to show a lot of gratitude for our client to our clients that they really are being cared for. And I do think that a percentage, maybe 10-20%, really are intrigued and want to get more involved. And they're the ones who continue to bring new life to our volunteer base.
So you know what? I everything you've said is the things I've said all along, and I think you've hit it very, 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 very well. But I did have another thought this year, based upon kind of our Catholic identity and who we are from our Catholic tradition, is, I mean, we hold we have a tremendous place, a tremendous importance on symbol and sacrament. And I've come to see a little bit, or envisioning in my own head at least, that what goes on, you know, at this time of the year is basically a symbol or a sacrament that really should draw us into what should be going on every day and throughout the year. And so we have sacraments and symbols because they highlight something and we take advantage of them. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen in the rest of life, the rest of the time. But as human beings, we need rhythms, we need things to happen. And so to somewhat of an extent, this is a very sacramental time because of all of the goodness of God's love that is being evoked. And we just need, as you said, to kind of spread it out a little bit so that it doesn't go away at the end of this time. So thank you for kind of putting that idea forward.
Great. Thank you. You're very welcome.
Okay. And I hope that you have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And I'm glad that you like it because of the generosity that is here. And I'm also glad you like the food, too, because
yes,
the food is really good.
That's right.
And thanks for everything you do. Monsignor Michael Bolin, the CEO of Catholic Charities Chicago, and just shared with us a particularly important part of Thanksgiving is kind of making sure that the next generation gets it. And the young leaders out in Catholic Charities are such a vibrant part of this Thanksgiving season. So, you know what, Fanny, I think we'll take a break. And when we come back in just a few minutes, I'm going to talk with my cousin. And I can't say she's the best cousin that I have, but I can say she's the bestest cousin because she is just great in that. I'm delighted I'm going to be speaking with her, and I'll be seeing her over the Thanksgiving time. So anyway, this is Just Love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. This is our Thanksgiving week. We give thanks to God, and we give thanks to God for the presence of God and the love of God in one another, both those who evoke our love and those who give us their love. So we'll be back in just a moment. This is Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. We're on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Now, let's get back to Just Love and your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Well, this is Thanksgiving week and time when we evoke a lot of generosity from people. We just spoke with Monsignor Mike Bolin from Catholic Charities in Chicago, a huge organization that does so much good, about some of the wonderful ways that the younger members of Catholic Charities are engaged in serving people at this time of the year. But, you know, in addition to it being a time of the year when we celebrate food, it's a time of the year when we celebrate family. And family get together, and, you know, the day before, the day after Thanksgiving, families are traveling every place in the world to kind of get together. And, you know, I don't mind saying that I've been incredibly blessed by having a wonderful family. Now, as I've probably mentioned on this show, I don't have any brothers and sisters, so no siblings, but I have wonderful cousins. And, you know, in some ways, my cousins are, you know, like my siblings. And I'm just delighted that my cousin Karen is joining us today. Hey, Karen, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll be seeing you tomorrow for a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yep, and for some of our listeners who are listening to this over the weekend, I saw them 2 days ago whenever they hear the show. So, Karen, here's the deal. I want you to share with our listeners. So, we have this thing, and I know you've told us that we have this tradition. Tell our listeners what our napkin ring Olympic tradition is.
Okay, our napkin ring tradition started probably 20, 22 years ago. I was trying to think about that. And it started one Thanksgiving evening after we finished our main feast, waiting for dessert. And my brother, whose house is usually host Thanksgiving, has a very long table with another extended little table at the end. And I think out of boredom one time, we just rolled a napkin ring down the table. It hit the edge of the other table and clinked into a cup or a dish or something, and thus Napkin Ring Olympics was born.
So, Karen, now, so after 22 years of doing the Napkin Ring Olympics, so tell our listeners, how has it evolved?
It has evolved to the point where I think we think of different strategies of how we're going to set the table up. So what you do is you sit at the head of the table, and at the far end of the table where the two tables meet, we set up cups and glasses and various other pieces of china that we hope don't break at the end. And you roll the napkin ring down, and we have points. If it goes into a cup, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you get 4 points. If you hit the cup in a certain way, you might get 2 points. If you jump over the cup, you know, you've lost. So it's evolved to be kind of a competitive little game while we're waiting for the pumpkin pie and coffee to come out.
Well, and hasn't it become, and, you know, from our Catholic perspective, we have sacraments, we have mass, we have rituals. And one of the roles of ritual is that you kind of keep in a pattern of how you do it. Now, it's not just anybody who sets up the cups. Who sets up the cups?
Well, I do believe it's whoever is at the end of the table.
But who's always at the end of the table?
I do believe my husband is at the end of the table.
Yep. Yep.
My husband is at the end of the table. You are down sort of near that end, but it's usually the people at the far end of the table who set it up. And there are great discussions on which way are we setting up the cups and did we do it this way last year and such and such. And we also, I might add, the keeper of the napkin rings is my sister-in-law. We have a special box with, I don't know, 20, 30 at this point napkin rings. And I think we're always on the lookout for just the perfect napkin ring. So who knows, maybe some more will show up this Thanksgiving. And there's always special ones that people like to use.
You're right.
The ones you think that are going to roll the best don't necessarily roll the best.
Well, and if you remember the old kind of the old duels where somebody presented the the box that had the guns in them and you chose your weapon.
Yes.
You got to see the look on Jake's face here, who's making sure we can be heard. He just doesn't believe what we're talking about. Jake, you seem to be not believing my cousin.
I didn't at first. Now I'm convinced now.
Okay.
Oh, no, and quite honestly, it is quite the ritual. And we keep score. There are maybe two or three or four rounds, depending.
Yep.
And you get to roll three rings. And it can become quite competitive. And we keep track of who's won from year to year. So, yeah, it's quite the thing. I've also
thought that we should patent
this game.
Right. But also, we also go from oldest to youngest. So since I'm the ancient and decrepit one, I get to roll my rings first. And I have never, ever, ever even come close to winning.
Well,
I'm awful at it.
Since I'm right behind you in the decrepit part, I have never, ever, ever won either. So we will see if
a three-year-old can
win this year.
But so since we're not in it, we just get an extra glass of wine. So we're
all correct.
So that's our part to that. But you know, Karen, one of the things that I've always been impressed by this, and I think this is even more to the point. You know, we have different generations, and now you have grandchild and your brother Tim, he's got a grandchild now. But one of the things that I've always been impressed over the years is everybody hung around the table, even when your kids and Tim and Lynn's kids were going through the kind of the teenage years when, you know, teenagers kind of would run away and they'd want to watch something on, you know, computers, media. But pretty much people hung around the table.
Yes, I agree. They do pretty much. And we still do. And that is great. I think it's wonderful that we all share that, even if it's one day a year.
Yeah.
That we all come together.
You know, and the other thing which I've always been impressed by is, so you have people of different generations, but everybody seems to talk to everybody. It's not like, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll be talking with one of your kids, or I'll be talking with one of the other kids, or they'll be talking to each other, or it just seems like, you know, I kind of want to say this. I consider myself blessed to see such a strong, supportive, warm family.
No, I totally agree. And I also think that if we realize somebody's not going to be at the table, like our niece is not going to be joining us, she's out in San Diego,
right,
we miss that person immensely and go, well, how would they have rolled that napkin ring?
Right.
But we always make a point of, at some point, speaking to that person on the phone. Somebody will call in if they're not there. So, yeah, there is a real...
And the other ritual is at 6 p.m., we always listen to Alice's Restaurant.
That's correct. That's correct.
And we listen to that because of that great Thanksgiving thing. So
so
how many this year are coming?
I do believe it's probably the 10 of us we won't have Blair. So I think it'll probably 10 of us, but it could be questionable at this point. I think Mike and Jess and Madeline might only be coming for dessert. So they were to be going to Maryland to her brother's, but there's some illness going on, so they'll be
Hillary's coming?
Hillary and Brent will be arriving from Pennsylyvania late this afternoon.
Are they bringing the dog?
They are bringing the dog.
Yeah. Okay, but the dog stays at your house, right?
The dog stays at my house and just sleeps all afternoon.
Yay. I don't dislike dogs, but I'm not a dog lover. So
no.
Anyway, so hey, Karen, thank you so much for being with us. And, you know, let's see what feedback we get. Maybe we're going to publish the napkin ring game and we'll patent it.
I've been saying that for about 10 years now, and you all laugh at me, but I think we're on to something.
Well, listen, I gave you airtime, so let's see if anybody comes back. If you haven't been able to sell it, Then the idea is going down the tubes.
Well, it's their loss.
Okay. Kat, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's take a break. And you heard a little bit from my family. My cousin is the bestest in the world. But this is Just Love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Just do it. Just love. Just check out Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, who's here right now. Take it away, Monsignor.
Remember those walls I built. Welcome back. This is Just Love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. So, this is Thanksgiving week, and Thanksgiving week is probably the largest retail week in the year. And so I'm delighted that our next guest will be Camille Rivera, who is the National Political and Legislative Director of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store International Union. What we're going to speak about is Amazon. And as I kind of teased in the beginning of the show, for the past year or 2 years or so, Amazon's been saying we were getting too big for our britches, or in other words, too big for our one store up in the Northwest up there. And so we're looking for another place to relocate. And, you know, when we come someplace, it's good for a place. So we bring jobs, we bring a lot of good stuff. And so what do you got to give us for us coming to your neck of the woods? And so what we're going to talk about with Camille is, while everybody was touting what a great deal it was for, you know, New York to get one of those stores, they actually split them. We're going to talk with Camille a little bit about, is there another side to the story? In other words, are there things that we should be concerned about and make sure it actually is a good deal? So, Camille Rivera, thanks so much for joining us on Just Love.
Thank you so much, Monsignor Sullivan, and God bless and Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving and blessings to everyone who's listening today.
Same to you. So I set it up a little bit, and I know that there are some concerns about the Amazon deal. Share with our listeners, what are some of those concerns?
There are many concerns. One is, from a good government and corporate welfare perspective, this is a company that has that is worth close to $1 trillion. It has a insidious and shady record of workers' rights, not just from locally and nationally, but globally, from their manufacturing centers and fulfillment centers where they deliver those same-day goods. There is this underbelly of workers that are keeping the business model together, and they don't have a voice. They are unorganized, meaning that they don't have a right to organize a union. Many of them are under extreme stress because of this very tight business model, and we don't think we should be giving a company close to $3 billion in tax subsidies for a company that is not only irresponsible, but in terms of their business methods and how they treat their employees and their workers from the top down, but also the fact that this is a company that is going to be descending upon an area that is extremely distressed, that could displace thousands of people, and has a history in Seattle and other places, such as, you know, in Germany and others, where they have yet to be held accountable and, quite frankly, do not are not good neighbors within the communities in which they reside.
So, Camille, let me ask you this. Something you said caught my eye, and you said the workers don't have a right to organize. Why is that?
Amazon is incredibly anti-union.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, they've put out a number of different videos and statements. They have, they have like anti-labor meetings, and they hold these gatherings saying don't talk to anybody other than the managers. And there has been serious problems and pressure that people have put onto them nationally. And the only way for Amazon to come to the table and allow workers to have a voice is to obviously organize and also get the community involved and push back. And, you know, there was just a Time story this morning in the New York Times about Amazon actually sitting down and negotiating with Somali workers in Minnesota. That is just one step and not enough, right? And the only way to do that is to put that type of pressure. Amazon has a very, very insidious history of being incredibly anti-union, like most global corporations have done in the past. And so we should not be rewarding that because we think that they're going to bring 25,000 jobs.
So, Camille, let me ask you this. Just if we looked at Amazon, let's say, throughout the United States, how many jobs are there related to that Amazon employees that Amazon has?
Well, I can't give you the exact number, but there's a couple hundred thousand in terms of for people who work in their fulfillment centers from the top down. And there are a couple, they're obviously the kind of high-end techie folks that are going to be working in these buildings that, according to the news outlets, are going to be making up to $150,000. And I don't know if folks know, but in Long Island City, there's, the NYCHA houses, the Queensbridge housing. Not everybody's going to make $150,000 a year. And quite frankly, these are the workers, folks that are going to be working in fulfillment centers, delivering goods. It's not that easy to say that we're going to do a job fair and help with resume building, because Amazon is actually very well known of recruiting out of its the high end and prestigious universities like MIT and Harvard.
So, Camille, we're speaking with Camille Rivera, who is the National Political and Legislative Director of the Retail, Wholesale and Department Store International Union. And appropriately, we're doing it around Thanksgiving because that this is the time of year when a lot of stores either make or break their profit for the year. So I'm delighted Camille is taking the time to be with us. So Camille, you've laid out pretty clearly some of the real issues with regard to Amazon and why there are problems with Amazon. So put on your problem-solving hat. What are some of the things, if concerned citizens, if people said, gee, I heard what Camille said, and boy, that doesn't seem right. What do we got to do to make it better? So what are some things that you think could make the situation better?
One is, if first of all, if they should be talking to their legislative officials, they should be, they should actually be going out and supporting efforts to actually stop Amazon from coming to Long Island City in a way, unless they actually are going to be committing to a number of different concessions, which is ensuring that there's adequate infrastructure, ensuring that workers have the right to organize in not just the building itself, but also the fulfillment and organizing centers, that that they are really going to do right by workforce development. They should be, really talk to the legislators about what this really means. This is $3 billion, $3 billion of taxes, and not just from the state, but as of right in the city. And for those who know that as of right from the city, you could actually apply if you're a corporation to get a tax benefit. You know, we don't know the depths of this deal. We don't understand the breakdown of all that has been given. And we just don't believe a company this size should have that type of subsidy. It is probably by far the biggest subsidy that anyone has ever seen in the country.
So, Camille, let me interrupt you for a second, because one of the things that I heard that was a little bit surprising to me, that by some type of kind of governmental mechanism, that they were able to approve a lot of this stuff, or maybe even all of this stuff, without going through the usual legislative zoning processes, which we all know in New York can take forever. So I understand why people don't like them. But did I read something about the kind of a lot of those processes they waived, or they did it in a way that you didn't have to do that public debate?
Right. And there is some speculation out there that there doesn't have to be a process, in which case we should all be outraged, right? We should not. Obviously, we believe, and others believe, that there needs to be a process. What we do know is that the development is supposed to go through what we call a general project plan called the GPP, and that has to hold a number of hearings, and then it's supposed to go through a sort of public authorities commission called the PACB, where there's these votes that actually have to take place. We believe that that's the process that this should go to, and anything other than that process would be undermining not only the legislature, but the processes in which communities have a say in what their community looks like. And so my hope is that that's not the case. I think there's various opinions about whether or not they can do that. But our position is that there has to be a process, that we believe that there has to be, that Amazon has to come to the table with real stuff. And we actually don't know. All we know is what we've seen in the press and what we've seen, as far as the memorandum of understanding between the two, between the various entities that signed the deal. But if I'm a community member and I'm living in Long Island City, I would call my legislators, I would call and make sure that they understand that this is bigger than just Amazon. This is about an area that is extremely distressed. We have an MTA that is falling apart, an infrastructure system in the city of New York that is falling apart, that we need to rebuild, and a huge debt that they have. So I think, if I were a community member, I would be outraged. I would be upset, not just for the way that this kind of the process that was created, but also the fact that Amazon's not the best company in the world. It's probably one of the worst when it comes to, workers' rights.
So, Camille, if somebody is interested, they want to get involved, they want to learn more, where can they go to find out more information about what's going on with regard to this?
So we are in the process of figuring out the best space, but right now there's a Facebook page of an event that's apparently being organized by community residents themselves and a community organization on Monday, Monday at 6:00, where folks can go and voice their concerns. If they go to, I would say they can they contact you, or they can contact us via email at political@rwdsu.org, and we can connect them to the community groups that are organizing it.
And Camille, I would say, since you are the national director, I assume there may be similar concerns in what's going on in Alexandria or in Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. There is a lot of, dismay and concern in those various states, because in Virginia, because of kind of, again, the process in which it came to be. And there is an issue with infrastructure, too, right, that they also have. Well, look, I think nobody's saying that we shouldn't have jobs come into any city, right? We want economic development. We want jobs. We want a fruitful and balanced economy. But it has to be an economy that works for everyone. It has to be jobs that work for everyone. And that means from when you get up in the morning, you should be able to go to work. You should be able to afford where you live. Right now, we're hearing that speculators are out there texting to try to buy spaces so that they can jack up the prices, because they know high-end employees, people that are making more than $100,000, are going to be moving into these areas. Nobody says you can't live where you want to live, but there has to be a balance, and communities are very scared.
Hey, Camille. We're speaking with Camille Rivera, who is the National Political and Legislative Director of RWSDSU, the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Workers. Camille, thank you for taking the time to kind of give our listeners a perspective on this, because we've heard all the positive stuff about it, but mm-hmm. you've raised some really, really important issues that are of a concern to us. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, and thanks for the work that you do.
God bless. Thank you so much, Monsignor, for having me on, and look forward to working with everybody to, ensure Great. That there's a something that works for everyone.
Great. Thanks so much. So, Fanny, we were just down in Puerto Rico. I was just down in Puerto Rico. And we did a little bit of a Thanksgiving thing down there. And one of the groups we worked with, and again, we talked with Camille, and Camille brought to us the fact that corporations should be good citizens. They should be not just into their own profit, but they should be good citizens. And she raised her concerns about what was going on with Amazon. But I'd like to raise up now the kind of partnership we established with the National Supermarket Association, because we partnered with them in trying to help some families in Puerto Rico. I think we have a clip from a couple of the people who were involved in that, don't we?
Would yeah,
you
we
say
should. Yeah.
Your names and your titles, please.
Nelson Eusebio, Government Relations for the National Supermarket Association.
I'm Anthony Pena, board member for the National Supermarket Association.
Would you just tell people, what is the National Supermarket Association? I go to a supermarket in my neighborhood. Why do we need a national one? I go shopping nationally.
Exactly. It is the name of the organization, but we concentrate ourselves on the five boroughs of New York. We are independent supermarket owners serving your communities. The stores that you see, like the Bravo, the C-Town, the Metfoods, and the Keyfoods, all part of our membership. We've been doing this for the last 30 years. And the association was to use it as a vehicle for the stores to give back to the community, which it deserves, and to represent ourselves in the political arena. There's a lot of legislation that's unfair to independent supermarkets, so we are the voice for that. And we work closely now with our local officials, hand in hand, to create an environment where the business community and the political community work together for the better of everybody.
So today, we're here in Cantaño in Puerto Rico. Why is the National Supermarket Association here? What are you doing? Why are you here?
Well, we're here because obviously our partnership with Catholic Charities, and we cherish that very much. And also because we have customers who are from Puerto Rico, who are from this area. And what better way to show community support than being here alongside the people on the ground doing this event?
Now, it's getting near to Thanksgiving, so what did the National Supermarket Association contribute today?
We contributed turkeys for the families, and also we supplied books for the backpack. So it was a small gesture from us. We will continue to do it as long as we're in business.
Now, I misunderstood Nelson and Antonio. Did you say you're two turkeys and that's what you are contributing here?
Yes.
Or did I miss that?
Yeah, we're a Thanksgiving turkey.
So, again, another example where we have some good businessmen who are trying to give back to the community. And so I think that, when we talk about how we organize things, and we're concerned with that on Just Love, what's the right policies And quite frankly, it almost always comes down to what is the right balance. I mean, it's rare that the answer is all or nothing. The answer is usually how much and how much can we do? And so, you know, at Thanksgiving time, as we are in the time where we're looking to give back, to give thanks to God for so many different things, there are a lot of people being generous, a lot of people who are trying to do their part to make sure that people have a good Thanksgiving. But as I said to Monsignor Bolin, there's also a part of it which is a sacrament, and it's a symbol that this is how our society should be. This is how we should be organized throughout the year. We shouldn't only be compassionate one part of the year. And so, you know, I'm glad we had the opportunity to speak with Camille Rivera also to kind of look at Amazon because, you know, Camille's perspective is very clear. You have to make sure that there's a good environment and that, you know, you've got companies doing the right thing. And it's always a balance because companies do need to make business. From our Catholic perspective, we think it's good that businesses make a profit because it helps a lot of ways. But, you know, for going back 100 years, our Catholic social teaching said, well, wait a minute, just because businesses say it's good for them, then you, well, maybe not. We got to look at a lot of different things that are going on. And, you know, when you get to $2 or $3 billion of stuff going on, you got to give that a careful scrutiny to make sure that everybody's kind of being treated fairly and that there's a just and a good way to work that, you know, work that out. And so that's part of what we're trying to raise up here at Just Love, that we kind of reflect upon how our communities are organized in a way where basic human rights are met. At this time of the year, we focus on food because that is a basic human right, and there are a lot of people who don't have enough food. So, you know, I'm delighted that we were able to raise up some good works being done. I hope everybody had a very good Thanksgiving week, and it's probably getting near that time when we're thinking about what we got to do to move forward. So thanks for being with us on a happy Thanksgiving week. Just love God, neighbor self, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.